And invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, we've been looking through the book of Genesis, and in recent weeks we've been exploring the story of Abraham and using the grid provided by Henry Blackaby in his book Experiencing God, where he talks about kind of ways that we go through our faith journey with God. And we've been following Abraham as an example of how this might also occur in our own lives. So we started in Genesis 12, where God comes out of the blue and basically assures Abraham that he is at work. He's always at work around us, and that's a good reminder for us. We need to have open eyes to seeing God at work around us. He calls Abraham into a relationship with him. He expands on that in chapter 15 into a greater love relationship with him. And then he goes on in chapter 17 and invites Abraham to now be part of his work. So God's at work, and once we are in an established love relationship with him, then he calls us to join him in his work. And Abraham does that by actually taking now his own role in the covenant. And now God is going to further expand that in chapter 18, as we're assured that we can experience God as he speaks, even as Abraham did. So let's look at how he's been speaking to Abraham, but now he speaks in a rather unique way. Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So up to this point, what Abraham is just practicing Middle Eastern hospitality, the same kind of hospitality you would find today. I actually found when I went to Israel in one particular case. So, but he doesn't really know who these guys are. He's just doing what he's supposed to do on behalf of the love of God, and that is to help take care of their needs. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." So now I think it's dawning on Abraham who this person is. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I've chosen him so that he'll direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they've done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" So we know now that Abraham knows who he is. The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare their whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I'm nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Conclude our reading at that point. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, as you preserve this story and this event for the benefit of the covenant people in the Old Testament, but also for the benefit of the covenant people in the New Testament and beyond, we pray now that you would inspire this story to us. Help each of us learn where we fit in this journey with you and where we and how we can hear you speak and seek to do your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever said, if I could have only lived when Jesus was on earth and be able to talk with him? Or if God only would speak to me as he did to Abraham or Moses or the prophets? Well, another reality of experiencing God is that God has never stopped speaking to people. He may use different methods, but he still speaks. I can attest to that personally, whether it's in his call to devote my life to him as a teenager, call into ministry later on, or redirection in ministry into various churches along the way. In the most crucial decisions of my life, God spoke, and I have no doubt. Well, using Abraham's life, we're going to look at how God spoke and how he speaks today, following the principle that Henry Blackaby puts in his book, Experiencing God, Reality Number 4. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Now, the first and most important thing about that is the first two words, God speaks. The Bible tells us that God speaks to his people, and it never said that he was going to quit. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you do not belong to God. So a critical point in understanding and experiencing God is to know clearly when he's speaking. So how do we know that? Well, let's ask some questions. We'll ask the typical reporter's questions. Who, what, where, when, how. First, who? Interestingly, unlike Moses, Abraham never asked, who are you? He seemed to know that it was God speaking. How? Was there some certain method? No, it seems like God spoke to Abraham in lots of different ways, through a voice, through a vision, through an appearance, through an angel, as a man, through circumstances, and maybe other ways. The more Abraham grew in relationship with God, the easier it was for him to hear his voice. Frederick Buechner reflects a little bit on this whole idea of hearing. He says, if I can't see you for some reason, but can only hear you, you don't exist for me in space, which is where seeing happens, but in time, which is where hearing happens. I experience you more the way I experience the beating of my own heart or the flow of my own thoughts. But something extraordinary is going on. I'm taking you more fully into myself than I can any other way. Hearing you speak brings me, by the most direct of all routes, something of the innermost secret of who you are. It's no surprise that the Bible uses hearing, not seeing, as the predominant image for the way human beings know God. They can't walk around him and take him in like a cathedral or an artichoke. They can only listen to time for the sound of him, to the good times and the bad times of their own lives, for the words which out of his innermost secrets he is addressing to, of all people, them. So he hits on that idea that hearing is extremely important in the Bible, and especially hearing God. And that's also true for us. It's not about some specific formula or method. In the Bible, when God spoke, it was usually unique to that person. He knew it was God, and he knew what God was saying. We have to remember that God wants us to know his will worse than we want to know it. Most importantly, an intimate love relationship with God is the key to knowing his voice, to hearing when he speaks. Just like we instantly know the voice of our spouse or parent or child, so we should know our shepherd's voice, as Jesus says in John 10, that my sheep know my voice, they listen to me. So what's our role? Our role is then to grow in a relationship so that we can better know his voice and better hear him. There's also the why question. Why does God come to us and speak? God didn't come to Abraham just to announce that a baby was coming. God was redeeming his people, building a nation through Abraham's family to do so. Every time God came to Abraham, it was in the context of furthering his redemptive plan. And so when God speaks to you, it also is with a purpose. It's not just to inspire you or to help you feel good or to be more knowledgeable about the Bible. He's calling us to be part of his redemptive plan. So when God speaks to you through a sermon, through a Bible passage, through a book, through a person or the like, be assured that he has a purpose for you. What's our role? It's to immediately respond with openness and readiness. Now, there's also the question of when, of God's timing. Abraham certainly must have had that question. He might have asked, why does God come to me out of the blue at age 75? Or why does God finally give me a son at age 100? Why not when I'm in my strength in my 20s? And we don't know for sure, but it's likely that God wanted to make clear who was doing this. Not a strapping 20-year-old Abraham, but a 100-year-old Abraham who couldn't really do what he did. And perhaps Abraham needed that 25 years between God's call and finally having a son to be the right kind of father or to be the right kind of covenant partner for God. Certainly, he learned that he couldn't do it himself because he tried several times and failed. But the point is that God has perfect timing. God speaks to you the moment he wants you to respond. When you gave him your life, you gave him the right to interrupt it. Now, he may not bring the full assignment immediately, so we have to continually be open and responsive. I have to confess that well over 5 years ago, before I came here, I had gotten very impatient with God. I was ready to move closer to family, back to Michigan, and was waiting impatiently for God to give me my next assignment. I'd interviewed with a number of churches, often being in the top two or three candidates, but never getting the call. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. In fact, this church was one of those. You called somebody else. And so at that point, you were no longer on my radar, and I was barely on yours until your initial candidate turned you down. And then out of the blue, one day, after returning from preaching at another church in Michigan, I was contacted by you, and the assignment gradually became very clear. But there's questions. Why did God delay? I mean, why wasn't I the first one to be invited out? We could have gotten this going a little faster. I don't know the answer to those questions. But again, the point is that God has perfect timing. God is perfect timing. God speaks to you the moment he wants you to respond. When you gave him your life, you gave him the right to interrupt you. He may not bring the full assignment immediately, so we have to continually be open and responsive. And so our role is to respond immediately and then adjust our lives to God's plan. There's also the question of what. Abraham started out in the dark. Remember, God called him to go to a place he would show him. But that's all he told Abraham. He didn't get out the maps and say, this is where you're going to be. He said, I'll show you in the future. He started out in the dark. But then God got very specific. Whether it was talking about the future of his descendants 400 years later, Genesis 15, or the covenant going through Isaac and not through Ishmael, or through anyone else, Genesis 17, or the birth of a son next year, Genesis 18, or even haggling with Abraham over the number of righteous in Sodom for whom he would save the city. Some people say God calls and we just have to figure out the details, but that's not true. God gave Noah specifications for the ark. God told Moses what he was to speak to Pharaoh and how he was to bring the plagues. Now, he may not spell it out all at once, but God doesn't leave us to figure it out on our own. And so our role is to adjust our lives to him and wait for the details. And then Abraham asked the question, in a sense, how is God going to use me? How can he use me, a 75-year-old idol-worshipping person from the Ur of the Chaldeans? And he gave Abraham a pretty big vision. You're going to be a great nation and have a great name and be a blessing to all the nations of the world. But through pitfalls in Egypt and with Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham came to a personal understanding that he couldn't do it himself. God develops him through a growing partnership, calling him to be in covenant relationship, eventually giving him a little more responsibility in that covenant, and finally asking, as he does in this story, shall I hide my plans from Abraham? After all, he's now my covenant partner. Abraham learned that he couldn't do it himself. God was developing his character. But this shouldn't be a surprise. Notice what God said when he first established that covenant in Genesis 12. God said to Abraham, I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will make you a blessing to the other nations. It wasn't on Abraham. It was on God. Now, when God calls, we may have similar questions. I know I did. But God develops our character to match our assignment, his assignment for us. So don't rule out things that may not seem to fit your current lifestyle, even maybe your spiritual gifts. We need to trust what God is doing and to know that when God calls, he also equips. And so our role is to allow him time to develop our character. Now, how God speaks, as we've just talked about, is not nearly as we'll talk about in a moment here, is not nearly as important as that he speaks. But in reality number four, in experiencing God, Henry Blackaby suggests some ways that God speaks. He says, today God speaks by his Holy Spirit, first through the Bible. The Spirit reveals appropriate and timely truth. Have you ever noticed, and I'm sure you have, that some days certain scripture jumps out to you like it never had before? Suddenly you understand a new thing, or it directs you in a certain direction, and likely that is part of God calling you, developing you, revealing his purposes to you, giving specific directions to you about what he wants you to do next. So always come to the Bible with an open heart. Open eyes, open ears. He also speaks by the Holy Spirit through prayer. Prayer is a two-way fellowship. Communication with God. It should not just be you speaking, but listening to God as well. And sometimes God even provokes you to pray, as he did here with Abraham in verses 20 and 21. When he said, you know, I'm hearing some bad things about Sodom. You know where your nephew Lot and his family live? I'm hearing some bad things about Sodom. I'm ready to go down and take them out. And it provoked Abraham to wrestle with God over this whole thing. And sometimes God does that to us. But in prayer, it's not just about us speaking. We listen to God. We respond to his will. And we adjust to what we learn. Abraham learned much about God in his wrestling with him over Sodom, though it may not have been what he expected. And you know what? That's true of God. God doesn't always do what we expect. There's a story that comes out of Franklin Roosevelt's presidency. I'm not sure if it's true or not. Seems a little outlandish, but it might be. Franklin Roosevelt, when president, reportedly grew tired of standing in endless reception lines, smiling, shaking hands, and making trivial small talk. So out of boredom one evening, at a big White House reception, to every person he shook hands with, he smiled a great big smile and said, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And everyone said, wonderful! Keep up the good work. We're all behind you, Mr. President. Only one person heard what he was saying. It was an ambassador who leaned forward and whispered, I'm sure she must have deserved it. If we're not occasionally shocked by the things God says and does, we're probably not listening. Abraham listened, and he was shocked. Was God violating his justice, allowing the righteous to perish along with the wicked? And God wanted him to struggle with it, to pray about it. What things does God want us to struggle with, to pray about? Abraham learned about God's grace and love in wrestling with him over Sodom. And we too must come to prayer with open ears and not just an open mouth. He also speaks through circumstances. Abraham learned some things in the circumstances of his life, whether it was Pharaoh's disease because he tried to pass Sarah off as his sister, or another king's blessing, Melchizedek, after he had turned down the blessing of the king of Sodom. He learned some things. He learned some things about being caught in a lie and trying to do things his own way. God speaks through circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to look at everything that happens in our life and ask the question, what is God doing? But we should at least ask God for his perspective on the events of our lives. And God speaks through the church. He speaks through other people. He especially speaks through the church's call to ministry. The church giving you an opportunity to do something. Maybe to be an elder or deacon or some other leadership or teaching or serving position may be a way that God wants you to equip you for his purposes for your life. And then God speaks to reveal first himself. First himself, most importantly, who he is, because the love relationship is the main thing. He also speaks to reveal his purposes. What his plans are for you, what his plans are for the world, what his plans are for his people. And he speaks and reveals his ways, how he tends to operate, how he acts. From experience, I can tell you that when God speaks, if you're open and in a love relationship with him, you'll know what he's saying. You'll know what he wants, regardless of how inconvenient or impossible it might seem. Adjust your life to his plans. Open yourself to be developed by him. Align yourself with his redemptive plan, and you'll stand amazed, humbled, and blessed at how God can use you. Let's conclude with a prayer that Henry Blackaby writes for us in his book. God, you continue to speak to us. Give us ears to hear, hearts to trust, hands to act. Take away the temptation to carry out our plans and to leave yours till later. Help us to get on with your assignment the minute you give it. You know us and who we are better than we do ourselves. You know the adjustments we must make to carry out your assignment. Work in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Create the image of Christ in us so that we will have the character to fulfill your assignment. We want to hear your voice and obey your will. And we lift this all up in Jesus' name. Amen.